If you've been following along with the reading, and you read chapter 23, I said 32, but chapter 23 in the story, you'll find that there were a lot of stories, a lot of parts about Jesus. And really, the point being that our faith is not about what it is that we do or what we believe. Our faith is really about who. Faith is really about our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Okay, and so as you've been reading that, I want you to kind of keep those big themes in your mind. This is what we refer to in Sunday school classes, the upper story, what God is all about. And I also want you to recognize that even in some of the smaller stories, some of the brief stories, that this all is revealed, the revelation of who Jesus is and what Jesus would have for us to do too. And so, I'm going to be taking a look at a very brief part of this story today, and it's the healing of a leper that's found in chapter 23, but it's also found, if you want to follow in your Bibles, in Mark chapter 1, and I'm reading verses 40 to 45. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean," he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be healed." And instantly the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering that's required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." But the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. And as a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in secluded places. But people from everywhere kept coming to him. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. And now, Lord, as I expound upon it, I pray that you will open our ears to the message that you have for each one of us. Help us to hear that. Help me to speak your words. In your name I pray. Amen. Have you ever had a secret that you just couldn't keep to yourself? Right? Just couldn't keep it to yourself. There are some people who have a real hard time keeping a secret. There are some people, you know that if the word gets to them, that the word's going to get out everywhere, right? And sometimes we're guilty of that ourselves. We're just so excited about something, and so we're going to, we just can't keep quiet, you know? there was someone who was talking about keeping a secret, and they said, "You know what? I've got something I need to tell you." Okay, so I'm going to share this secret with you. I've only shared it with my closest of friends. And so the person felt pretty honored, and they heard the secret. And they said, "Wow, so only your closest of friends." She said, "Yeah, I only have 362 of them on Facebook." Those of you who don't know Facebook, once it gets out there, it's everywhere, right? Okay. Sometimes we have a hard time keeping a secret. The man in our story, the leper, had a hard time keeping a secret here. I want to give you a little background on what this leper's life might have been like. In the first century, first of all, leprosy wasn't, we think of leprosy today as a specific disease. In the first century, if you had an infectious skin disease of some sort, it was referred to as leprosy. Okay, so we're not sure exactly what this kind of leprosy was, but the treatment of the person was the same no matter what. Okay, for the leper, there were limitations on their life. Before the person came down with a disease, they might be just a normal citizen. They might even be a leader in their community. A community member, they'd be a member of their family, a father or a mother, husband, whatever. And there would be a sense of hope and, like I said, just kind of getting on with life. When the person came down with leprosy, this skin disease, their life turned around completely. They would automatically become an outcast. They would automatically be feared by other people. They would automatically be considered unclean, not just to the people, to the general populace, but also unclean before God. There would be a sense of loneliness because you would have no one near you. And there would be, I'm sure, a sense of hopelessness too, I can only imagine. The law required that a person with such an infectious disease had to wear torn clothes. Okay, it's not just that they were worn out and ragged, but they had to wear torn clothes. They had to let their hair be unkempt. They had to cover the lower part of their face. And as they walked down the street, or if they were somebody who came near, they had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean!" As long as the infection remained, he remained unclean. Must live alone, according to Leviticus. Had to live outside the camp, so to speak. Okay. This is the life of the leper. And so this man's life, who had been turned upside down by the disease, who was no longer part of a community, he comes, sees Jesus, and he falls before Jesus, and he has a request. His request is to be healed, to be made clean. Jesus responds to the man. First of all, in our text we see that Jesus had compassion. It's very just a few verses here that talk about their interaction. But it says that Jesus, verse 41, was moved with compassion for the man. Again, as we talk about trying to be like Jesus and trying to be a follower of Jesus, compassion isn't a big part of that. We've been talking about that in Sunday school today. There's a need for us to be compassionate for people. When we see hurting, when we see a need, that our hearts should be broken. The Spirit of God does that in us. Makes us compassionate people. And Jesus responded with compassion too. The second thing Jesus did was he touched the man. Now, this in itself is an act of compassion, I'm sure. Because the man probably had not been touched by another person since the disease was diagnosed. We don't know. It may have been years, may have been decades since he had been touched. Jesus, though, also in touching the man is taking a risk for himself. First of all, in touching the man, Jesus now is also going to be considered unclean, unable to enter into the temple to worship, unclean maybe with other people. So Jesus has taken a risk in touching the man. There's also another risk that Jesus took, and that was to be associated with a leper. Because there, that uncleanness, or that through that association, it will lower your social standing, most definitely. I find it interesting that as Jesus has touched this man, that he's willing to put himself at risk, that he's willing to take some of the, or accept some of the words that would be spoken against him in doing so. As we reach out to people in compassion, sometimes the same thing's going to happen. Sometimes there will be a risk in our association with that person, or there may be a risk that we too will be considered unclean or imperfect. In touching another person, we take on responsibilities with that person. We may take on their very troubles. But this is what Jesus calls us to do, doesn't he? The next thing we see Jesus doing is speaking to the man. He answered the man's question, really. Notice that Jesus didn't talk about the man. He didn't say to the people that might have been near him, "Oh, did you notice this man? You see how bad off he is? I'm going to help him out here." Jesus didn't talk about the man. Jesus simply listened to what the man had to say and then responded. I think there's a lesson in this too. we would do well to listen to people who are in need. Sometimes as Christians, we want to kind of come in and be the great white hope, so to speak. We want to tell people what their problems are and tell them what the fix will be. Jesus listened, found out what the man really desired, and responded. After Jesus spoke to the man, we see that Jesus healed the man. It was simply with a touch and a word. And the disease was gone, just disappeared. Again, we're reminded of the power of God. God's power doesn't need any kind of fancy words or any type of special behavior or mantras or anything like that. Jesus simply touched the man and said, "Be healed." In God's power, there's nothing fancy about it. God just simply reaches out and brings healing. God does that in our lives too. Sometimes we beg and we ask and we think, if we use the right words, then maybe God will bring the healing that I need. God simply reaches out and touches and answers us. And we are healed. Jesus did something else, though, too. Jesus warned the man not to speak of his healing. Now, this seems counterproductive, doesn't it? Here's Jesus. He's trying to do the work of God, trying to get a message out like John the Baptist was doing. He's trying to get his word out about the kingdom of God, about who he was. And in this miracle, one of the earliest ones that we find in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus tells the man, "Don't tell anybody what I've done for you." Instead, here's what Jesus did. He said, "Instead, take an offering to the priests and show them that you're clean." This is what the law required, by the way. If you had a skin disease and it was healed, or if it went away, then you would take the right offering that you're supposed to take. Take it to the priests, give it to them, it would be sacrificed, and they then would pronounce you as clean or unclean, depending on how, whether you were or not. Okay. But, so we sense that this is probably what the man did, but he didn't follow Jesus' command. Why would Jesus, first of all, why would he say, "Don't tell anybody"? Well, we see the result of it, okay, in the rest of the text. Jesus had a hard time going anywhere because crowds were surrounding him. Everybody wanted to see another miracle and all of that. Jesus had a hard time simply just being with people. He was always surrounded by a crowd. You watch the way the media and people crowd around some of the popular stars of today. They have a hard time getting from the door to their car, right? Jesus had a hard time getting from door to door in the same way. There are some other things, too. We recognize that Jesus, yes, performed miracles, but this wasn't really the point of Jesus' ministry. Jesus' ministry was not about promoting himself as a miracle worker. Now, there were others who were miracle workers of the day, others who went around promoting themselves, and they wanted to make sure that everybody knew what they had done and who they had done it to and what the results were. But Jesus did not want that because that was not Jesus' primary message. It wasn't about that he could heal people. It was about God's love and our relationship with God. That was the message that Jesus was promoting. So, as Jesus is trying to promote this faith, he's trying to promote a faith that's not based on spectacles, not based on the miracles and the things that Jesus would do. Because the other thing is that when people are seeking after that eventually the clamor of that excitement goes away. When the miracles stop or when they're not as exciting, or "I've already seen this one before," whatever, you know, the excitement fades away and people walk away. See, it wasn't about Jesus' self-promotion. It was about promoting what God was doing, this new kingdom, right, and this relationship with God. So, the man, of course, as we know, had a hard time keeping things low key. He goes out and he tells people, and honestly, can you blame him? I can't, okay? I have a hard time saying, this man was wrong in doing this, because Jesus sternly warned him. But it's an amazing thing that happened in his life, and he simply could not keep silent. Okay? And there are times, folks, when God does something in our lives that we really should not keep silent. There are times when we simply have to speak and proclaim the amazing thing that God has done. You know, think of what Jesus has done in your life. You can keep silent about it, and maybe that's okay. But there are some times when we just can't, and it has to be proclaimed. But I'd like us to consider the command that Jesus gave for the rest of our time together. There's this other consideration. Jesus told the man that if he simply took his offering to the priests and showed them that his leprosy was healed, that in itself would be his public testimony of his healing. Jesus was saying that the man's healing would testify for itself out of the amazing power of God, and that the words that the man insisted on using would actually be unnecessary, maybe even get in the way of things. The life of this healed leper was going to be testimony enough. You hear that? The life of this man, healed of leprosy, was going to be testimony enough. Where Jesus said, you don't need to open your mouth. You don't need to proclaim this. Your life is going to be a testimony. Think about that. This man's life, his very existence, his healed skin, would give all the glory to God that was necessary. He would not have to say a word, and everyone who saw him would give glory to God because of his life, all by itself. That's the testimony. And this is often what God is calling us to do too. Now, you may look and say, well, wait a minute. God, through Jesus, had done something extraordinary with this man, right? This man had been healed of leprosy. This was some miraculous, huge thing. Of course God can receive glory through his life because we see something extraordinary happening through Jesus. But do you believe the same thing about yourself? Do you believe that God, through Jesus, has done something extraordinary in your life? Think about how God has changed you. Think about how, through Jesus, you've been given abundant life. That you've been given life that's full and free and filled with joy and hope and love and peace. Think about the very Spirit of God who lives in you now and lives through you. You have been set free. You have been healed. You have been redeemed. You have been accepted by God. You have been transformed. You have moved from death to life, from being an outsider just like the leper to being one who is a son or daughter of God, the creator of the universe. God truly has done something extraordinary in your life too through Jesus. Can I get an amen to that? God has done something extraordinary in our lives. And we need to accept that, and we need to let that life shine brightly and proclaim. Jesus told his healed leper that his life would be his testimony and that he didn't need to use words. Well, brothers and sisters, your transformed life should also be a testimony of the healing power of God. Ask yourself, does my life testify to the amazing and transforming power of God? When people see the way we live, the way we interact with each other, the way we forgive, the way we show compassion, Do they see the glory of God in our lives, or do they see a need for some sort of explanation as to why it doesn't match up? Does your life naturally give testimony to God's grace and love and mercy? Or are people confused when they compare our lives to the life of Jesus? I can tell you that there are some times when Christians should remain silent. I'm thinking of a death of a leader recently, this past week. But when we proclaim things in our lives, with our lives, or if we live in such a way that it goes opposite to what Jesus teaches us, we should probably stay silent. It would be best if we did. When we proclaim things with our lives like hatred or intolerance or impatience or divisiveness or greed or lacking compassion, or when we're quick to condemn, it's best for people to keep silent about their faith, because their proclamation of their faith in Jesus actually does more harm to the cause of Christianity than good. Unfortunately, these people are often the loudest to speak. But there are also some times when we as faithful Christians should also remain silent, so that our words don't get in the way of what the Holy Spirit is trying to say. You know, sometimes we have the best of intentions. We want to make sure that people understand things clearly. But our need to convince someone else of the good news has often turned people away. What they really need is not to hear what we have to say, but they need to see the good news of Jesus Christ, and we see that that really is good news in our lives. And that is evident when they see the way we live in such a way that reflects Jesus. When people see compassion, when they see self-sacrifice, when they see gentle grace and unconditional love and humility and oneness and unity, when they see sincerity and faithfulness in God's people, then they are seeing living testimonies of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're able to see what really is truth, even without our having to say a word. God can use your life in this way. God can proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, this gospel message, by the way we live. So what message do people receive from the way you live your life? St. Francis of Assisi has been quoted, not sure if it was real or not, but he's been quoted as saying, "Share the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." Share the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. The writer of 1 John put it this way: "Little children, let us love, not in words or speech, but in truth and in action." See, it's important how we live our lives. And so I challenge you. I challenge you to live in such a way that the extraordinary power of God is evident in the way you live your life. I challenge you to be living testimonies of God's love and grace and peace. I challenge you to let your life be your witness, first and foremost. To let your life speak. May it be so in each and every one of us. Amen.